today. Of course, Alan Dillon, Emer Higgins, Colin Burke have all been appointed junior ministers. This is a part of the cabinet reshuffle. A lot of focus around that over the past 2 days. But I want you to take a listen to Taoiseach Simon Harris talking about this in his speech yesterday.
I will work tirelessly to support the delivery of Sláinte care. We'll prioritise the delivery of mental health services and in a step change in how we care for our older people. And I mean this seriously. I want to work with colleagues across this House to deliver real and meaningful reform for people with disabilities. As Taoiseach, I want to see everyone reach their full potential.
Yeah, so they're setting up basically this Cabinet Committee on Children and Education and Disability, and it's really about trying to break down the silos across government and trying to make change happen, as Taoiseach Simon Harris pointed out there. What I just want to know today is, what do the people of Ireland who vote for the various different politicians, what do you want this Disability Committee to deal with? Like, in your eyes, what would make this committee a success? You can give us a call, drop me an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Bernard Mulvaney, who's from Access for All and a regular here on Lunchtime Live, is with us on the show today. Bernard, what would you like to see happen or be included in this Committee on Disability?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks very much for having me on. Well, I'm taken aback anyway that an individual who's been 13 years in government is now only now saying that he's going to tackle the issues around disability. We've been, as you said, we've gotten to know each other very well. I mean, you've joined us on many a picket around disability inequality over the last 5-6 years. Under this government, we have seen our poverty increase. We've seen our deprivation increase. We've seen our isolation increase. We've seen people waiting for healthcare, waiting lists grow. So in 13 years, things have only gotten worse. But now, all of a sudden, in 8 months, everything is going to be sorted. I'm sorry, this is top-level gaslighting. This is really, really upsetting for the community to hear. We have children waiting on scoliosis surgeries. That is just, it's gone through the roof. We have a coalition of disability activists who are fighting to scrap this green paper. A green paper is a Tory policy that you have to justify how disabled you are to get the highest payment, which is €250 a week. I challenge anyone in Ireland to survive on €250 a week. This has all been done under the government. This has all been done under Fine Gael's watch, and Simon Harris has been an integral part of that government. It's not a personal attack on the man. It's a political stance. Our policies have failed. We see no light at the end of the tunnel, and if anything, it's got darker. As you know, we've been calling for so much for so long, and all we're doing is highlighting the issues that are there. And most recently, I attended a conference, and the ERSRI stood up and said the one group in Irish society who've seen their poverty increase year on year for the last 10 years has been the disabled community, and we're now nearly at 40% of our community live in abject poverty.
Okay, so look, I it's very, very hard to disagree or to argue with you, Bernard, and you know this better than anybody, as somebody who advocates on behalf of your own child as well, and you're a regular to highlighting a lot of the issues that you face. I suppose maybe, to be fair, just to Simon Harris as Taoiseach, and maybe just to, you know, to look at what he can now do, and I accept your points around being Health Minister and in other different portfolios over the years, but is it not a good thing maybe now that there is this committee and maybe bringing all of the other departments around the one table and being able to thrash out the issues? Is that not a positive? I'm not saying it's going to sort everything, and maybe it could be described as too little too late, but is it a starting point?
But see, this is the thing, a starting point. We're always having these starting points. I've been on the shadow committee for the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. We work in the background and we produce a report that mirrors the government's report. It's always, we might as well produce our report in Donegal and the government produces this report in Kerry. That divide is so huge over what they claim is happening, but what actually is the reality for people who are living that life. I for one don't believe that you know, there's any ill intention or any ill will from Simon Harris. But I mean, how many committees, how many reports, how many times do we have to come on the radio, on the TV, to say we are getting poorer, we are becoming more isolated, our healthcare is diminishing, and our life is just getting worse. And I don't say it, like, this doesn't make me happy to say these things.
I don't advocate,
like, I don't get up in the morning and go, what a wonderful day today, to advocate and go out and meet families that are suffering consistently. I mean, we have so many problems, but if I'm honest with you, if I don't do it, I can't look at my daughter in the eye and say to her, I'm trying my best. And I want to give her the same opportunity every other parent in Ireland wants to give their child. Unfortunately, the odds are stacked against us all the time. And I never, ever hear, I hear lovely sound bites, I hear lovely TikTok pieces and all the social media jargon that goes with it. But actually, the reality, when I'm with young people with disabilities, young adults with disabilities, I've got to know so many of them in their late 20s, early 30s, with no hope. Young Kaylee, that does an awful lot of activism on our behalf and speaks elegantly as a young woman living with a disability, has no hope in her life. And to me, that's just an utter failing. I'm sorry, I can't get past that. As much as, you know, oh, I have empathy and now all this kind of stuff, where's the empathy for the last 13 years? I'm sorry, it's like we need to press the reset. We need a change. We need to have people in there who are going to stop talking and start acting. And as far as I can see, we're just going to have more talking, more committees, and no results, no positive, progressive development for people with disabilities.
A committee about a committee, and where's the... Yeah, why can it all happen without it?
You know, I always give kudos to those who, I mean, our Access for All campaign had won a great victory, and we work now with Irish Rail and Tom Griffin recently. We got new lifts and everything, and that's really positive for the community. And it's great when people come along the journey with us and we get these results. But across the board, poverty, healthcare, housing, all those issues that face people really, really, really impact our community. And the poverty aspect of it is the worst.
It's the worst. No, there's no, yeah, it's a huge, huge issue, Bernard, and something I know we hear an awful lot about here in the show from people who get in touch to raise and to tell us their stories and their experiences. Pamela's with us as well, Bernard. I just want to bring Pamela in for a moment because you have a child with autism, Pamela. Is that right?
I have two. I have a 13-year-old boy and I have a 10-year-old daughter as well, both autistic.
Do you see the sort of the voice at the cabinet table maybe being more sympathetic as a positive move, or do you agree with Bernard? Is it maybe just...
I agree with Bernard, unfortunately. Okay. I think we had multiple different committees and kind of storming and kind of rethinking disabilities, you know, across the country for at least last decade. I mean, last June, the Committee on Autism created an amazing booklet and their findings from their studies they've done with people. So the government has had that for, you know, almost a year. You know, Epstein Act has been around for many, many years. As I am, the Taoiseach's Own Brothers charity produces multiple reports and results of surveys about people who are living with disability. So the government know what is going on. And you cannot say that 13 years in government, this is a new thing that's finally kind of come to their attention. It's a very silly attitude. I think maybe they're kind of, this is more a reactive thing because of what happened with the care referendum, rather than this actually being maybe something that they maybe want to do.
If you had an opportunity, Pamela, to, as a parent of two children, to sit down, you know, with Simon Harris, or even to join in on this cabinet meeting, like, what is the one thing that might be a win for you, or what would you like to see addressed?
Well, see, this, I suppose I could sit down with Simon Harris, there's no problem at all, but I've sat in meetings with Roger O'Gorman, I've sat in meetings with Anne Rabbit. I am one of the parent representatives in our locality, so I am one of the representatives who looks after Dublin West, Dublin South West, Kildare and Wicklow. And I'm sitting with all the heads of HSE and management there. So you know, myself and many other parents, activists, are out there and we're meeting with
TDs. Yeah, so you get an opportunity to have a word in the rear.
Oh, we do. We have had many meetings and it doesn't get us very far. We get the, you know, the polite nods and the sympathetic, you know, kind of tilting of the head. And yes, we must do better and nothing changes. I wish I could be more optimistic and say, this is going to make a difference in my child or any person with disability.
I heard about it over the last 2 days and I wanted to get a sense from a lot of our listeners and regular callers to the show and people who send me emails about how you felt about it. Because ultimately, it's your opinion and Bernard's opinion that counts and that matters in this. But if you could have a word with Simon Harris today, Pamela, what would you say to him? Like, what's the first, I suppose, priority that you think should be addressed?
The problem is that with disabilities, there is not just one problem. It is multi-layered and there's multiple problems across multiple areas. So education is needs a complete overhaul. I mean, the ASTI, when they were having their kind of conference there over the Easter break, came out and said, you know, their teachers are not getting enough training on special education. Their teachers who are working in special ed are not being recognised for the work they do. And, you know, whether it be salary or anything of the sort. So, you know, there's not enough teacher training in education. There are not enough autism class places. There are not enough special school places. And that's just the education piece. And then you kind of move on to, you know, social welfare. You have disability allowance being means tested, carers allowance being means tested. What other role would anybody work in where their partner's salary affects their income? That is ridiculous. There are hundreds of thousands of carers across this country who are not receiving carers allowance because of a means test. And then we kind of, after that, you can kind of go into services. There are over 800 vacancies across disability services. I sat in a meeting there a couple of weeks ago and, you know, we have no hope of that 800 vacancies actually.
Yeah,
that
the recruitment and retention.
We're possibly going to get, for our area, we're possibly going to get maybe, I'd say 20 at max in the next few months. But again, we're having massive issues. And that's just the basic. And that's not going into housing, employment.
Yeah, all the other. The
and all the other things.
The other
and
issues.
So unfortunately, it's too big an issue to boil down to one.
I see another listener has got in touch here on WhatsApp to say, I think special needs places in schools, to be a special needs teacher, you need to go through the same process, the training as a primary school teacher. If the training or qualifications were different, then more people might pursue this career. The need to have Irish is a significant deterrent as well. The need to have Irish as a subject is a significant deterrent, says this texter. And that, accompanied with more infrastructure, I think would help significantly. 087 1400 106 is the number. Stephen is on the line as well. Stephen, you're somebody I've talked to many times in the show about your son Harvey, who is spina bifida. You've obviously been promised shorter waiting lists. That hasn't happened. So how did you feel when you heard about this new Cabinet Committee on Children, Education and Disabilities?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, listen, thanks very much for having me on. I'm absolutely outraged at the fact that Simon Harris is now the Taoiseach. He promised in 2017 that no child would wait longer than 4 months for scoliosis surgery. And that has not happened. Do you know, we've had successive ministers like Stephen Donnelly as well, who keeps going missing, do you know, who hasn't tackled this problem the way it should be tackled. Do you know, like Simon Harris, what he needs to do now is give a commitment to the parents of the children that are waiting on scoliosis surgery, and he needs to get them second opinions, completely unbiased from CHI. Do you know, I'm absolutely outraged, and I think it's a kick in the face to all the parents of children with scoliosis and kids with spina bifida, and anyone who suffered under him as Minister for Health.
In terms of the waiting list for to get the surgery.
I'm watching my son die in front of me. I'm watching him not able to breathe on a daily basis. I have to give him pain medication. I have to pull him out of his wheelchair. I have to lie him on the floor in the most undignified way possible. He's losing his ability to use his wheelchair. And I attended a meeting last night with Ruud Coppinger and Mick Barry on disability justice. And the stuff I heard last night was absolutely disgraceful, what people with disabilities and their carers have been put through in this country. And I'm, do you know what? I'm issuing a warning to any politician in this country. Mick Barry TD is bringing a motion or a disability private members bill into the Dáil next week. And any politician in the Dáil that even considers voting it down or amending it, do so at your absolute peril, because we will destroy you in the general elections, in the local and European elections. You know, we are a voting bloc of 800,000 strong in this country. 1.3 million people in this country have either a disability or they're care to disability or they're touched in some way by someone in their family who has a disability. And we are mobilising. We are mobilising at the moment, and you're not getting away with ignoring us any longer.
What does that hope to do next week that you mentioned?
It's a vast bill, so it, obviously there's a lot of stuff in there in relation to scrapping the green paper. You know, the UNCRPD optional protocol, which the government has promised for years that they were going to do, and they still haven't done it. Now they say that they're going to have it done by the end of the year. And this is only off the back of what happened at the care referendum, because people with disabilities and their carers stood up in a united voice and said, we're not accepting this anymore. And we gave the government the biggest kicking they have ever received since the founding of the state. And so if they want to continue the way they're going, they will be absolutely destroyed in the general and European elections. They will be destroyed. So what they need to do now is sit down with people with disabilities and actually listen to what they're saying and start getting it sorted. And like, it's not going to be sorted in a short amount of time. Mm. Do you know what I mean? We can't tell people
but
that.
But sure,
it's going to
I recall did Simon Harris as health minister, wasn't it, in 2017? I think he himself described the waiting times for surgery then as appalling, as something that they were going to fix. And I know there have been some, you know, other issues with regards to timelines that has perhaps prolonged some of this as well, and reviews that have taken place. But at the end of the day, Stephen, when you get up this morning and you look at your son and you look at Harvey and all of the other parents who've shared their children's stories with us here about spina bifida and scoliosis on this show over the past 2 years, you just want a time. You don't care when it comes or where it happens. You want a date. You want a deadline.
Look, for children like Harvey and the other children that are waiting, look, we've got children whose kidneys are starting to fail. We've got children whose spine is literally about to rupture outside of their back. It's literally about to rupture with like 140 degree curves. You do not see that in any other European member state. They don't get past 50. Right, this needs to be tackled now. It's for some of these kids like Harvey, it's far too late. Decades have been taken off their life. Decades are going to be taken off my son's life because his lungs are being crushed by his ribcage. Right, so we can't lie and say that we're going to have all these problems fixed within 8 months. It's not going to be fixed in 8 months, but we need to make a proactive start now. Do you know what's happening now at the moment is it's paused. Nothing is happening. No surgeries have taken place on children with spina bifida since I think it's December 2023. Do you know? Like, this, for a lot of the kids, it's too late, but we cannot let another generation of children come through that health system and be left the way they have. We have to get out of this cycle of a child showing up to a news talk or, you know, on RTE, shown the plight that they're going through, and then you know, they get their surgery,
yeah,
but there's another
happens.
30 or 40 children waiting along the line.
It's look, I completely understand, Stephen, your frustration, and the same for Pamela and Bernard Mulvaney there from Access for All as well. As I said, I heard mention of this over the past 2 days, and I wanted to chat to some of our own regular listeners to the programme to get your thoughts on if you thought, you know, it was going to make life any better at all for people living with disabilities or with additional needs. And well, sure, look, listeners heard your own thoughts there. That's Stephen, Pamela and Bernard with us today. If you want to drop me an email, it's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.